This is the Vintage Truth Podcast with Jeff Kinley, reaching over 80 countries worldwide. It's time to go deep and grow strong. Now, here's Jeff.
Okay, welcome to this final edition of this little series that we're doing on the urgency of Bible prophecy. And very excited about that. And so I want to dive right into it. We've looked at four reasons why it's so important for us to believe and to look at and to study Bible prophecy. And the four reasons were because of the condition of the church. And we talked about just where the church is right now. And, you know, there's just a lot of need right now in the church. And, you know, a lot of churches are doing what they're supposed to do. So I always want to make that caveat because I don't want people to think that I don't think that any churches are doing their job. That's not true at all. I do think that churches are doing their job. It's just that the vast majority of churches are not doing their job. But that translates to Christians and where we are and where the body of Christ is. And what that means is that Christians, by and large, do not know about Bible prophecy. And by the way, I'm very excited that this conference that the Prophecy Pros are putting on that we're doing, we have, I don't know, roughly, well, a majority of them have never been to a prophecy conference before. And that's exciting to me because it tells me that we're reaching a new generation. But anyway, back to this, the idea that the condition of the church is that we're afraid of revelation, we're afraid of prophecy, we're ignorant of prophecy, and therefore we are susceptible to other things. Second reason, because the state of the world, just where we are right now in the world, I don't have time to go into the stuff that's going on right now, but there are forces at work in our world that are just absolutely seamlessly weaving themselves into Bible prophecy in terms of a globalist regime being formed, the attempt at a globalist regime being formed, and the overreach of government, the technology that is being manufactured and mandated almost on our civilization is just so prophetic. And there are other things that are going on with the vaccine, with mandatory, I believe there's going to eventually be mandatory vaccines for a lot of people. Also, this thing in New York called the that they're trying to get through, push through. It's called the Excelsior Pass, which essentially says you cannot enter a restaurant or go get your tires changed or anything unless you have a digital pass on your phone that says you've been vaccinated. And I'm not saying that it is wrong for people to be vaccinated or that you shouldn't be vaccinated. But what I am saying is you should not be told that you must be vaccinated. That is a blatant overreach and a violation of personal freedom. So anyway, the state of the world where we are. Thirdly, because of the rise of false teachers. We talked about that, how God says in the last days and Jesus says in the last days there will be a rise of false Christs and false teachers. And there's a great apostasy that's going on right now. That's why I wrote this book with Mark Hitchcock called The Coming Apostasy, Sabotage of Christianity from Within. Fourth, because of the times in which we're living, and I talked about the last days prophecies that are in formation right now. We talked about Israel and other emerging prophetic signs. So let me give you one more reason why I believe that that prophecy is something that is urgent. And when I say urgent, I never mean panic. We as Christians do not panic. And the reason we do not panic is because Revelation 4 makes it clear that God is on his throne, and he will be on his throne in the last days. That's the context of Revelation 4. And the Bible says in Psalm 113 says that, or 115 verse 3, it says that our God is in the heavens. He does whatsoever he pleases. And we can never forget that God is a sovereign God and nothing takes him by surprise. But as we look at the world around us, sometimes we think that. And in fact, I address that very issue in my new book, Aftershocks. I've got a whole chapter on that very subject and how we can conquer and overcome fear, even in the times that we're living in right now. But let me give you a fifth reason why I believe that prophecy is urgent. And this is kind of a duh, you know, but watch this. Because Jesus Christ is returning. Because Christ is returning. And when I say that, I mean both the rapture and the second coming. He's coming back just like he promised he would. And in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, Jesus made a pledge to his disciples. And that pledge was made to them on the last night that he was with them, which obviously he chose his words and his topics very carefully. But he said, don't let your heart be troubled. Man, is that a word for us today or what? Don't let your heart be troubled. Just believe in God and believe also in me. I mean, that is so clear. But that one verse right there is like a life verse. That's your tattoo verse right there. That's the verse that Christ wants us to understand in these times that we're living in. Believe in God. Doesn't that sound simple? But that's what he wants us to do. Then he says, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. See, the reason why there's a huge difference, or one of the reasons why there's a huge difference between the rapture and the actual second coming of Christ, is because at the rapture, he says he receives us to himself. In Revelation 19, of the second coming, the Bible says that we are following behind him on white horses. He's not receiving us then. We're coming from heaven with him. At the rapture, he comes for the church. At the second coming, he comes with the church. At the rapture, he comes to deliver us from wrath. At the second coming, he returns to deliver wrath. So Jesus promised that he is coming back. And because of that, we don't have to fear. But it gives us a sense of urgency. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, beginning verse 13. Paul, in writing to the Thessalonians, wrote to them, or there are several reasons, but two of the reasons he wrote to them was, A, because people were disturbing their faith, and they didn't know what was going on, what was going to happen. They didn't know what had happened to believers who had died. They didn't know if, does that mean they're going to miss out on the rapture? And Paul wrote to them to say, nope. He says, I don't want you to be uninformed. And I don't want you to be uninformed about those who have fallen asleep or have died in Christ, and to grieve for them like the rest of the world that has no hope. I mean, the difference between us and the world at a funeral is, the similarity is, we grieve because we've lost someone, and it's truly legit to grieve when someone dies, okay? But if they're a believer, we don't grieve without hope. Because our hope, which, by the way, is code for confident expectation. That's what hope means in Scripture, confident expectation. If we hope, we have this hope that we'll see them again, then our grief is tempered somewhat. We still grieve, we still hurt, we still lose, we still mourn, still cry, but we know that we're going to see that person again. So there is a light at the end of the tunnel that gives us the assurance that God is going to reunite us one day. Anyway, I won't go into the whole teaching of 1 Thess 4, but suffice it to say, he goes on to say that Christ himself is going to descend from heaven. He's going to rapture us up. And people say, well, the word rapture is not in the Bible. No, the word rapture is not in the Bible. Neither is the word missions or Great Commission or Trinity or, I mean, even the word Bible is not in the Bible. So, what we believe about things that are in the Bible, sometimes we put names or labels on them that help make sense of the doctrine or the teaching that is found in the Bible, like Trinity, like the Great Commission, and things like that. And the word rapture, first of all, no English words are in the original language because the Bible is written in Hebrew, Aramaic, Greek, so there are no English words in there to begin with. But the point is that when we talk about the word rapture, we're basing it on a teaching that is in the Bible. The word rapture comes from it's a transliteration from a Latin word, rapie, or rapturo, that is translated from the Greek into Latin in 1 Thessalonians 4, and verse 17. And it's the English words that we see in the Bible called caught up. Okay, right here is this caught up. We'll be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now, this word caught up is the Greek word arpazo, which I've said many times sounds like a dish you'd get at an Italian restaurant. I'll have the arpazo with a Caesar salad. Thank you. But the word harpazo means to snatch up, to violently snatch away, to catch up suddenly. And it's used throughout the New Testament for different reasons. It's also used to talk about the rapture, and this is where we get this word. So the Latin is when the Catholics in the Vulgate in the 4th century translated the Bible into Latin, they used the word rapturo, and people just got that word, and that's where we get rapture, which sounds better than calling it the great snatching away, the great snatching up, the great catching up, you know, kind of thing. The Bible actually has another word for it, or another phrase for it. It's called the blessed hope in Titus 2:13. But here's the thing. Because Christ is coming back, and because the rapture is a signless event, in other words, there are no prophetic signs that immediately precede the rapture. Because of that, then we have a sense of urgency, or what I call in Wake the Bride, in my book, Wake the Bride, I call it purposeful urgency. Purposeful urgency. In other words, there's a direction. It's not just running around with a chicken with head, like a chicken with a head cut off, you know, going, oh gosh, we gotta do this. We gotta go crazy. We gotta tell people about Jesus. I mean, no, there's a purpose. There's a settled purpose about our lives. That means we have direction. And it's not like racing to the emergency room. It's not that kind of purpose. It's like being on a mission. It's like having a direction in our lives. And that is a sense of urgency. That's the sense of urgency that we have. It really means that there's no time to waste. That's kind of the general idea of it. It's like, you know, football teams have what's called the 2-minute drill. And the 2-minute drill is your game plan for the last 2 minutes of the game, and you're behind, basically. So you're 2 minutes behind, and you're down by a touchdown, and you're on your own 10-yard line or your own 50-yard line, whatever. Then you have a plan for that. And the plan is to move forward and to be intentional about moving forward. It's not, well, let's just run this play and see what happens. See, you and I can't have that kind of attitude in our lives. We can't say, well, I'll just try this and see what happens. No, we've got to have confidence about the direction in which we're headed. We've got to say, no, I'm headed in this direction. I'm going here. I'm investing my time. I'm investing my resources. I'm investing my money. I'm investing my energy. I'm investing my spiritual gifts in this. And this is what I'm doing, or these things. This is what I'm doing with my life. And there's a sense of great purpose in that. And knowing that Christ could come back at any time gives a sense of impetus. It's like a thruster, you know, a rocket booster to our purpose, because we know that Christ could come back at any time. And there are kind of two quick little things about that I want to address real quickly. One is just the idea that you know, we wake up in the morning, we have that expectation, but we still have to do what God's told us to do for the day. In other words, we don't say to ourselves, well, I guess I'll just not unload the dishwasher because Christ would come back, and what would be the purpose of unloading a dishwasher? Or what would be the purpose of him catching me unloading the dishwasher when he returns? Wouldn't he be displeased with that? Wouldn't he say, well, why weren't you reading your Bible? Why weren't you witnessing? Why weren't you praying? Why weren't you worshiping? No, that's not how we do our lives. God has called us to manage our lives, and part of managing our lives is be good steward of our lives, is to do the little mundane things we have to do. So if God comes back and you're a mom changing a diaper, or you're a dad, you know, mowing the yard, or you're a student studying or driving to the grocery store, as long as you're doing what is part of your life, then God's not going to be displeased with that. So don't ever worry about that. Just keep walking with Christ. Take Christ with you to the grocery store. Take him with you to work. Take him with you to unload the dishwasher. I mean, as long as you're in his presence, which you are anyway, but as long as you acknowledge that, then you're going to be fine. Don't worry about that. And the other thing is sometimes the fear people have, well, gosh, there's so many things I want to do before Jesus comes back. And I think we had a whole episode on that with the Prophecy Pros just talking about that. Like, Jesus, can you hang on for a little bit longer? And hey, I felt that and I do feel that. And that's just part of our humanity. That's just part of realizing that there are things in life that, yeah, we want to experience. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you want to see children grow up. You want to see yourself be married or to accomplish certain things in your job. Those are things that God's given to you. I mean, here's kind of a funny thought for me personally. Sometimes I will say to myself and to the Lord, I'll say, Lord, can you just not come back for a while? Because there's so much I want to learn right now. I want to learn. I want to read some more books and I want to study your word. I want to master this part of your word better. And I want to be able to do different things for you. I want to write more books and accomplish more things and spread the gospel to the world better than I'm doing right now. And, you know, obviously we're doing great, you know, strides in our ministry right now with this recent purchase of all this equipment that God has been so incredibly gracious to speak to his servants that have helped with this. And then moving forward with this recent financial need that we've had in terms of getting up on this thing called Subsplash. If you get my newsletter, then you've gotten this video, you may be seeing it on Facebook or whatever. To help us to get up to Apple TV, to Roku, to have an app on your phone for Main Thing Ministries, all that. I'm like, God, yeah, I want to do that. I want to do those things. But then at the same time, that's half my brain. The other half of my brain says, but Jeff, when Jesus comes and takes you home at the rapture, you're going to know all the things that you want to do. And you're going to experience all these things. So, you know, don't worry about these things. Don't let them cause anxiety in your life just because you haven't experienced them yet. Continue to long for the return of Jesus Christ and realize that everything you do want to do, it does put a sense of urgency in it. If you're a parent, it puts a sense of urgency in the fact that you need to be a Christian parent to your kids and realize that the world wants to indoctrinate your children, wants to steal your children's minds, and it's up to you to form those little lives. You have a massive responsibility and power to be able to mold a human being and to provide for them. And that's a sense of urgency too. So we all have that in our lives as we look forward to the return of Jesus Christ. And I think that a lot of Christians right now are going to have to wake up in our world. I believe that God is doing that. I truly believe that God is doing it. And one of the ways he's doing it is through Bible prophecy. A lot of people, in fact, I'll just tell you this real quickly. We received an email from a young lady from Australia here this past week saying how much she enjoyed reading Todd's books on prophecy and my book, my recent book on Antichrist. She said, like, I loved your book on the Antichrist. And she said, the thing that you guys have shown me through listening to you is that I used to think, she says, that Christians were just a bunch of Bible-thumping crazies. You know, they were just kind of irrational, you know, and kind of not very smart. She said, you've shown me just the opposite. You've shown me that Christians can be rational and reasonable and that they have the truth. And she says, because of that, I have turned my life over to Christ. My friends, nothing gives me more joy and pleasure than to hear that God has used me because of my sense of urgency. I mean, had I just been lackadaisical about telling people and about, you know, reaching out to my buddy Todd and saying, oh, let's form this ministry called Prophecy Pros. Had we just kind of drug our feet, that wouldn't have happened. All that to say is that as we are urgent in what we're doing, as we are purposeful and intentional, and expecting the return of Jesus Christ because he is coming back, that just gives us a real meaning and significance to everything that we do. Nothing is wasted when we look for the return of Christ and when we serve him, and nothing is left behind in terms of being on the field. We give it all to Jesus. And so the fifth and final reason why we should be urgent about Bible prophecy is because Jesus Christ is returning. My friend, that's a message you can share with the world. Now, they may mock you for it, but it's still true. It's still going to happen, no matter what they say. So 2 Peter 3, beginning of verse 9, check that out. But anyway, all this to say, Jesus is coming back. He's coming back for us. He's coming back at the second coming. And I believe that our lives right now can help others come to him as we share to them the truth about his prophetic word.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.